For 9/28/2011, from our skull-shaped fortress atop Dragon Something Mountain, it's Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
I'm Kevin.
Oh, and I'm Chris.
Yeah, Chris, esteemed programmer from Asymmetric Publications, LLC.
Guest star.
As a guest. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
What have you been up to? Stop playing video games, Kevin.
I'm sorry. I can't do anything
other
than this
game. Are you forgetting what segment this is? Yeah, I know. You're stuck. You're stuck in it. You've got it stuck in your head. What have you guys been up to? That's all it says. What have you guys been up to? Anything on your mind?
I figured out how to download a video game soundtrack off of Steam.
Cool. Are you sure that you figured that out, or did you just find where it was that you had already done it? The soundtrack was in you all along.
Oh, so that was
That's
that
disgusting.
Weird erpy feeling that I had.
Erpy.
Erpy.
Kevin, pay attention to the podcast.
I am paying attention. I can also defend my dungeon.
Are you billing me for this time?
He didn't play any video games this week, so he's got to make it up quick before that
segment.
Right,
right, right. He needs something for the What Have You Been Playing segment, and he's actually just been lying in a coffin filled with earth from his homeland the entire time.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
So you guys done anything interesting in the last week?
Yeah. I went to my cousin's wedding up in Denver and then drove back.
Oh, your mom fingered somebody.
But did not fist her. Yeah. It was awesome.
This was a thing that Kevin's mom said.
Yeah.
Kevin's mom, who really likes getting fucked when she's high? I wonder if she listens to this podcast. She told us that on the way home once.
Yeah.
I looked over at Kevin, and Kevin was having a real good time being there while her mom was telling us this story.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
She was like, you know what I like? Getting ripping stone and having some dude plow me. That was exactly what she said.
It was not described quite like that.
Anyway.
That's how he remembers it, when he's beaten off.
So, dude, gross. That's inappropriate.
Wow.
We've turned over a new leaf. We don't make offensive jokes on here.
Yeah.
We don't go in for that puerile, juvenile humor.
We don't tell you what the difference between a baby and an apple is.
Reddit. Kevin, pay attention.
Dude, I am totally participating in this.
It's not his turn to talk.
It is your turn to talk.
No, it isn't.
It's your turn to talk, and it's my turn to interrupt
new
with stories about fucking your mom.
I purchased a new car, and I learned that the internet is a terrible thing because I spent most of the week researching cars.
That sucks.
And I'm unable to buy things or just like go out and make impulse purchases anymore.
What did you determine?
I bought a Jetta.
So you're a stripper.
I want to be a stereotype. No, like I'm going to drive my Jetta to Starbucks, get out of it, talking on my iPhone, get out my MacBook, and work in the coffee shop.
Cool.
I want to be a stereotype.
Were you able to get through that purchase without having to do a lot of haggling? So I remember we were talking about that in chat.
I actually did some haggling, mainly in the form of, I said, is your computer here on the internet? Can you bring up truecar.com, and I'm going to show you how much people are paying for this car, and I would like to pay something like that. And the guy was, whoa, what is this site? Okay, how about a little more than that? And I was like, how about a little bit less than what you just said? And then I bought the car. After my wife approved.
That's pretty cool.
Was it? Did he give you an asking price? And you were like, let me show you what the world is doing.
I was like, okay, now that you've given me that price, I'm going to show you what I would really like to pay for it, because I think that people pay a lot less. It wasn't a lot. It was like $1,000, but you know. It's a lot in the grand scheme of things.
That's pretty cool. If I were a car salesman, I would just be like, no, we don't have internet here.
I know.
Be like in the movie Moon, where it's like, no, sorry, the direct feed isn't working.
Yeah.
Sam.
He's like, I just want to warn you, a lot of sites are blocked here. But it wasn't. Uh-huh.
Well, he thought that you were trying to get him to look up some barely legal poontang for you. Because that's what people normally do.
True
yeah,
car.
Yeah, it's
will this car allow me
I'll
to pull
give you some porn in
barely
exchange
legal
for this
poontang.
Car.
Can I get "Are you 18 yet?" as a vanity license plate?
No, because it's already been taken. Also, Ecto 88.
I read an entire book since the last podcast.
Did you finish it?
I read it in like 3 sittings.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because all right. So I don't know.
Can I borrow it?
Yeah. My girlfriend wants to read it first.
Okay, that's cool. Oh, I wouldn't read it right away anyway.
It is a book called Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. It is like essentially fan service for people who enjoy pop culture from the 80s. Yeah, it is as though a book was written just for me. So if you're like a 35-year-old nerd or a 40-year-old nerd, or maybe a 30-year-old nerd. I'm really curious to see if any of the, like, say, 20 to 25-year-olds in our audience have read this, and if so, what they thought about it. Because really nothing in this book happened before I was born, like, you know, nothing that they talk about.
I wonder if it's possible that the demographic that everybody cared about, which was 18 to 35, is going to become now the 20 to 37, and then the 22 to 39. Like, yeah, is, so like, is the demographic like how, just going to shift? Is it just this group of us that is super important?
Mickey Mouse keeps
so what are you saying? Is it, or consume it?
Is it possible that our generation is the absolute pinnacle of human achievement and culture? I mean, yeah, sure. That seems
or consumerism
seems pretty sound to me.
It seems like it's just going downhill, right?
So this book is about so imagine that, like, there's a fictionalized version of, like, Richard Garriott, who, instead of becoming an astronaut in his later years, invented a video game that was like this giant virtual reality world that everyone just started living in all the time and grew to encompass every other video game. And then the world goes to shit, so everybody just spends all of their time in this virtual world.
Did it go to shit because of the video game or externally?
No, it went to shit because of, like, because petroleum products. It went to shit because of a Vaseline shortage.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know.
They ran out of socks.
Overpopulation and overpopulation and running out of fuel, basically.
Okay.
Energy.
Here's my solution
to the energy crisis.
If there was an energy crisis, how did this game, which ostensibly ran on some sort of computerized internet thing, which would require power, run?
Solar power.
There's a lot of solar power stuff.
So cars fail, but computers succeed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, it's not like society collapsed. It's just stuff sucks, and the underclasses are just living in misery.
Okay.
Basically. Right. But you know, it's sort of a bread and circuses kind of thing, right? Like this is how they're pacified, more or less. Not deliberately, because the guy who created this world was like a good guy, and he wanted everybody to be happy, and it's free. You just need the hardware to do it. And public school takes place in this virtual world also.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you're like...
So it's basically Second Life.
Yeah.
Is what you're describing.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Second Life, but like good, right?
No, it's just...
It is actually Second Life. Yeah. This book was actually just a brochure about Second Life. And I made up the whole story. Anyway, so the guy who made the world dies and reveals that he has hidden this like puzzle hunt inside the game world that is based on his obsession with 80s pop culture. And so the main character is this kid who years later, like...
So nobody finds anything to do with it at all.
For a while.
For years.
For a while, yeah. Yeah,
wow, that's
nice.
This,
and then this kid finally, like, uncovers something because he is just, like, super into the culture of the 80s and has nothing but time to just, like, fuck around and play every video game, starting from, like, the beginning of video games and just, like, mastering every game. A lot of it's, like, semi-unrealistic in terms of, like, yeah, I played every video game. It's like, no, I don't think that you did. Like, you know, maybe, who knows? Who knows how long would it take to play every video game that had ever been made up until now to completion? Do you think that is a thing that you could do in the space between birth and age 15?
Up till now?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so I have maybe if all you were doing was focusing on consuming all of the culture that was produced in the 80s for public consumption, maybe you could in your entire life.
But like, you cannot play World of Warcraft anymore. It's impossible, right? Because it was contingent on having a bunch of people around at the time that you were playing
Sure.
Right, so like, there are things that you just can't do.
Interestingly, this world recreated Azeroth as one of the planets that you could go to, right? And so there were always people playing it. I don't know, you know, they don't really get into a lot of this. They get into specifics of like very particular old arcade games and stuff. But anyway, it's just total fan service, and the fan is me.
Yeah, no, and I like the idea of it. I'm intrigued.
Just quick, I don't know that I believe that it is like a lasting and meaningful contribution to literature, but it was hells of entertaining.
Did you find the puzzle that's hidden within the novel?
I didn't. That'd be so fucking cool if there was one. You know, the way that I was introduced to this book, there is a particular plot event that hinges on a critical game of Joust that is played. And at Comic-Con, the author had set up a booth with a Joust cabinet, and if you beat him at Joust, you got a free copy of the book. Like, he just sat there playing.
Did you beat him?
No, but Wes, the animator for the new game, beat him and got a free copy of this book before it actually came out. Before it was even published, it was already optioned option for a movie.
I wonder if that means anything, though, because that could be something that won't turn into anything
one
for 12 years.
For a movie that came out.
Oh, yeah?
So,
which movie?
It's called Fanboys. I had not heard of it until I saw this, but yeah. I don't know. Riff, you said you had some of his, like, spoken word albums.
Not albums. I've got a handful of MP3s.
Yeah. Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. Super good book. I totes recommend it.
Cool.
You read anything? You read anything lately?
Not well, I mean, no, I'm starting to read... Well, okay, that's not true. I read the paper trade paperback of Axe Cop.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And I'm starting Children of... what's it called? Children of God.
Okay.
Which is this follow-up to The Sparrow, which if I don't know if I've mentioned this before, this is like a really awesome sci-fi book by Mary Doria Russell. The Sparrow was awesome, and I'm hoping that the follow-up will be as good.
When did it come out, and what's it about?
It is near future, first contact with alien species, but also like...
And turns out it's a bird.
Catholicism and... language and that kind of thing. It's really cool. It's really, really neat.
What about you, Riff? Still Game of Thrones-ing?
Yeah, I'm a handful chapters into the last one now.
A Dance with Dragons.
Do you want me to just tell you how it ends?
No!
Are you embarrassed to be seen in public with a copy of A Dance with Dragons as I am to be seen in public with this Dungeons and Dragons in the Mountain Dew logo font shirt
no, just
that I bought?
Because I've been reading them all on iPad.
Oh, so you're not afraid of looking like an iPad douche right. When you drive your Jetta to Starbucks?
Well, when I hide in my cave that I live in.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's a little weird, the stalactites that are forming on the ceiling. I'm assuming it's from your heady vapors. Mm. The heady vapors you produce while you're sleeping.
That's headly.
What else, Riff? What have you been up to?
That's about it. Reading in video games.
What about you, Chris? Raising kids?
Yeah, I read the first trade paperback of the Astounding X-Men, the one that Joss Whedon wrote with someone, the kind of reboot of the X-Men, and it was really good. I got off the plane and looked up on Amazon which next versions I could order, which next trade paperbacks. I think it was 6 in there. It was really good.
Nice.
And I'm in the middle of reading Look to Windward by Ian Banks, part of his Culture series. It's like the 6th one. Mm. It's fun. I was reading about post-consumer, everything's taken care of world where everyone has every possible genetic modification to be like the ultimate human. It's
I'm sure that nothing goes wrong in that scenario.
The weird thing is his conceit is that it kind of works. And that the vast majority of the events to make it actually a compelling story happen at the point where, making hand gestures, at the point where the culture, which is called the culture, where they make contact with other cultures that are not as advanced and how they try and bring them into the fold and advance them. So it's a utopia for real.
From the point of view of the Borg.
Yeah, it is. It is. Huh. To some extent, yeah.
Oh, you know, I also read Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom by Cory Doctorow. I can't believe I read 2 entire books. Although Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom was like a very short novella-length thing. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's about a near-future civilization in which sort of death has been cured and people can... I mean, it's been cured in a way that I don't think really counts, where you can just like be restored from a backup into a freshly grown clone, which doesn't really count.
It doesn't. Not for you. Maybe everyone else will not be sad anymore, but you're not going to notice.
Yeah. But anyway, people have taken over Disney World and continue to operate it as a theme park and live there and just dedicate their lives to the sort of preservation of that spirit. Hmm. And it's about some rides getting retrofitted. And the political infighting around the retrofitting of the Hall of Presidents and the Haunted Mansion. And it's super fucking good.
Huh.
Yeah. Good old Cory Doctorow. Yeah. Books. F this literacy BS right in the A. Hey, guys, what have you been peeing?
Urine, mostly.
Yeah. I just during the break, I played a few rounds of the new game from the creators of Super Meat Boy and Gish.
The Binding of Isaac.
It's pretty good.
Are the graphics all bullshit?
The graphics are cutely horrifying, All the enemies are like zombie babies and things like that, but they're done in that sort of cute Super Meat Boy style.
Okay.
The gameplay is, it's dungeons in the style of the original Legend of Zelda. So like rooms and you go in and the doors lock and there's monsters and you beat the monsters and the doors open again and you go to another room. The dungeons are all randomized NetHack style, and it's permadeath. So it's,
wow.
So you know, you die, you get one life, you die and start a new game, and the combat is sort of Geometry Wars Smash TV style.
Huh. You're shooting.
Yeah, you're shooting your own tears or your initial weapon.
Okay,
and there's like. There's 110 different like weapons and tools that you can randomly acquire. It keeps track of all the ones that you've ever found, and that's not counting like single use potions and consumables that you can pick up. Yeah.
Does it do that bewildering modern like Pokemon Explorer dungeon style thing where there's some confusing way in which you can leave things for your future incarnations, or
not that I've found yet.
Yeah.
So I don't think so. I think they kept it pretty straightforward. Yeah.
Legend of Ninja is
like Sheeran the Wanderer. Yeah. No, it's nothing
weird
like that.
Shit that I never exactly understood, like what possible benefit that offered.
If I understand the between every level, there's a boss that you eventually fight, and if I understand the little loading screen between them, you get five levels and then you fight the big boss, and I guess there's several different endings that you can get.
So it's like real-time Dungeons of Dreadmore.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
bullshit mushroom,
but not nearly bugs. As long, and there's no inventory to speak of. I mean, you acquire different weapons, but they all appear in your character. You have like two slots that are this is the
so you have exactly
what your
as many
weapon
slots
is
as a
currently
real baby.
Upgraded to. Yeah, exactly.
What's the difference between the Binding of Isaac and an apple? Is that it?
I also have been playing a ton of the original Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, like the campaign that they made, or are you playing user stuff?
No, I'm playing through the campaign.
Like Big Cock and Balls Dungeon.
It's huge. I never finished the first act before. So the first act is you've got your central city hub, and then there's four wings, and each wing has, you know, a couple of reasonable sized dungeons and a bunch of side quests and stuff. So I figured that the length of this game was you finish every wing and then there'll be an end game dungeon. You fight the boss and that'll be it. And that happened. But then after I did that, here's another act with another hub and four more wings, and it's just as big. And I looked at the table of contents on an FAQ, and it looks like there's a third act after that. So it's a massive, massive game.
Is it like
even
Baldur's,
before you get into the two expansions?
It's like Baldur's Gate style. Do you have a party of dudes?
You get one hireling. It's more Diablo-like. It's like a more... it's like a slower paced and more explorey and more story focused Diablo.
Nothing is randomly generated though, right? Like this.
I don't believe so.
Is it turn based combat or is it actiony?
It's actiony, but you can pause if things are getting frantic and it's like, all right, I need the next thing I do to be drinking this potion. Then you can pause and assign the potion and then unpause.
Okay.
So, and it's cool, and it reminded me of how much I kind of enjoy inventory Tetris.
Cool.
So, because you can
Deus
get
Ex.
Yeah, because you can get, you've got like six pages in your inventory, and everything is different sizes, and you can get bags of holding that reduce the weight of the stuff that's in them by varying amounts depending on how good a bag it is.
What does the weight do?
You have an encumbrance limit, after which point you can no longer run.
Can you also find bags of folding, bags of walking away, and bags of running?
Maybe
in the third act. Yes, and?
Yes, and.
I'm going to go on with my story. That it?
Yeah, that's pretty much been it.
Did you get a bunch of other D&D games with that from GOG?
Yeah, I went on that GOG thing and got most of what they had to offer because it came out to being like $3 each. So
what all did you get?
I got that and both Baldur's Gates and...
Planescape Torment was in that, right?
Yeah, I already had that.
You've played that, haven't you?
I haven't finished it. I've played like the first couple
Was Neverwinter Nights was never a Mac game, right? So you're playing it under some kind of.
I think it was a Mac game, but it emulation. Was it. It there's no port for an Intel Mac, so yeah, I'm playing it through Crossover Games.
Nice. Too bad you can't play the original Neverwinter Nights, which was like that. It was like a gold box, like a multiplayer gold box game on like Prodigy or something.
Huh?
Really?
Yeah. I never heard of that.
Saw this video from like the late 80s. Or the early 90s. It was like, yeah, we're working on this game. It's called Neverwinter Nights. And everybody was like, what the fuck? And then they showed it, and it was like totally gold box. Oh, here's 1,000 gnolls. Get ready to fight them
really
for 6 hours.
Really enjoying it, though. It's really good. Anybody that's waiting for Diablo 3 to come out and likes like plays Diablo in the very slow-paced, explore-y kind of mode, then I think this is a good game to play while you're waiting.
There was quite a community creating modules per se for that, right? Isn't that the one where you could create, there was a whole module
there was like
DM
a DM mode.
Mode,
yeah.
I think you might be annoyed with some of the, like, there are definite, like, advantages in Diablo 3 to, like, just continually going and, like, beating stuff up. Like, the
Diablo
Berserker
seems
is
like a more fast-paced game, and they send big waves of any, you, in Neverwinter, there are groups of enemies, but they're, like, 5 or 6 guys. You don't get, like, a whole wave of dudes coming after you.
Huh.
Wave of
it's
dudes
a lot
was
more thoughtful.
My favorite spell.
After Wave of Babies.
And you can upgrade it to Rain of Men.
And then Rain of Fire. Fire Rain of Firemen.
What have you been playing, Zach?
Oh, I got a thing here. A lot of Tiny Heroes on the phone, which I think a number of us have been playing.
I'm playing it right now.
I will let you guys talk about that because I don't have a whole lot to say. I haven't been super into it. I got a new gaming rig at home, and the only thing I was
a Mac truck.
Really surprised by how little sort of crapware there was on it. So when I turned it on, the only thing on the desktop was a recycle bin and a link to Zynga.
Wow.
Yeah, which I think was just a web shortcut. And I'm like, you know, Zynga probably paid these dudes some money to put that link on there, so whatever.
Did they pay them 95% of their profits?
Yeah. I read about that. We'll get to that on on the world segment. Yeah. I played a Flash game that I want to go back and actually play some more. The guy that made The Last Stand and The Last Stand 2, which were these two like pretty good, just they were
like zombie games.
Yeah, there were zombie games in that sort of action-y, like, defend your castle kind of style.
Did you pick up zombies and throw them away?
You just toss them up in the air. Yeah. And then you could hire wizards to do it for you. I don't remember what the wizards did in that game. It's called The Last Stand Union City. Fairly full-featured, seems to be very big and deep, just sort of action RPG. Huh. Where you're fighting zombies and you pick like what was your job before this car crash that starts the game, and then it's like that picks what weapon skills and others. So there's like leveling up and there's
a lot
of
choices.
There's like 30 classes. Wow. Probably. There's, you know, and it's like a sort of stat distribution. There's maybe like a dozen stats that change various things, and they're mostly combat. You can sort of crank up this search stat and you'll find less useless junk in like the random dresser drawers and shit that you open when you're walking through the seemingly dozens, if not hundreds of houses that are left in this city that you're wandering through. There's a few little annoying things about it. And I played it when I didn't have a lot of time to dedicate to it, but I was like, I definitely want to go back and play some more.
What's it look like? Is it like a top down kind of thing?
No, it's like a side scroller. It's it's not really a platformer. It's more, it's got that sort of like Rambo for the NES style thing where it's like a bunch of 2D segments and it's like at the door, you stand outside the door to a house and move up and then you're in a 2D view of a room and then you go to the end and click on the door and you go into a different room and like when you're at the stairs you click and it moves you to a different one, but you don't like walk up the stairs. The stairs are just a teleporter. Everything is just a teleporter to a different 2D level. I played last night about an hour of Deus Ex Human Revolution, which I want to play some more before I really
talk about
collate
it.
My thoughts on it.
Are you filing it under A for awesome?
I've had the exact same response to this as I had to the original Deus Ex, which is like, I'm going to play this without killing anybody. Fuck playing this without killing anybody. Because it's like, hey, what do you want? You want a stun gun or a tranquilizer rifle? And I'm like, ah, tranquilizer rifle. All right, here's 5 darts. Go ahead and go into this mission with 15 dudes in it, at least. And I'm like,
do the tranquilizers suck as bad as they did in
they're
first
a
one?
Little better. I think I
can
ought
you
to
shoot
be,
the guys that have the trank guns to get their ammo?
They don't have any trank guns. So
what?
Had 5 darts after killing after tranquilizing 5 guys and then having to kill 10 more in order to be able to progress. I mean, I'm sure I probably could have avoided them if I had been willing to just stand behind a crate for 5 minutes and then auto save and auto load when I fucked up. Or, you know, found some vents or whatever.
Yeah.
I found hundreds of additional ammo for the stun gun, which I didn't choose. And I wonder if they do that on purpose. I wonder if I had taken the stun gun, if it would have just been Tranquilizer
just
Dart City. Oh, right. We need you to infiltrate this Tranquilizer Dart warehouse.
It's like Dark City, but
There is this weird, there is a level of verisimilitude so far that I'm not sure I'm okay with. I found a locker room.
Poop and stuff.
I found a locker room that had probably 60 lockers that you could open.
Oh my god!
In it, you know,
were they filled with workmen's clothes, outfit one?
Yes, they were. Like maybe 5 of them had an item inside.
Wow!
And then I found a room filled with cubicles and a huge number of computers that you could hack. All of which had emails on them, some of which were unique and some of which only had copies of the like mass emails that had gone out to everybody in this company or whatever.
Wow.
But the hacking minigame is really cool, actually. I'm enjoying it. It's real. It's a real game, and it has, I mean, it's a simple game, but it's a real game. It has a lot of axes on which you can level up your abilities in it, and there are sort of genuine rewards inside it. There are.
Do you, like, for each computer that you hack, do you get to play it and level up and stuff, or?
What do you mean?
So, like, there's this room full of
there
computers.
Are, each computer that you hack is like a puzzle, basically,
right.
that has been designed according to these rules. And it's like, you know, it's like that scene in Sneakers where you're trying to get your little nodes to move around before the red line that indicates the feds catches up with your entry point or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. That seems neat. I found a room with, like, you know, 20 computers in it, and I'm like, oh, I get to hack all of these instead of like the room with 60 lockers where I was like, fuck, I have to open all these.
Did you try a rocket? I think that might have opened them for you.
Yeah, it probably opened all of them.
I'm excited that they're coming out with a Mac version this winter.
Well, yeah, that is pretty exciting. We'll have to make that the assignment one of these times. That's about it, actually.
What was the name of the first thing you said?
That Flash game?
Yeah.
The Last Stand : Union City.
Okay. That sounds cool. I'll have to check that out.
Is it so it's also a Flash game?
See, this is why unions are bad. An entire city unionizes, zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Is it what?
The zombie union.
It's also still Flash.
Striking for more like brands.
It's on Kongregate.
Okay.
What about you, Chris?
I've been playing a lot of Tiny Heroes.
Yeah.
We could talk about it. We could not.
Go for it.
We should definitely
talk about it. Kevin, talk about it since he's playing it right now.
But if you talk about it, then I can just keep playing.
So if you haven't played it, it's you could describe it as Plants vs. Zombies, but with tunnels. But I don't think that is a fair description because
it shares a lot of traits with Plants vs. Zombies, but it's a little more tower defensey than Plants vs. Zombies was.
And it's a sort of a weird combination of maze building and not. Because there's an existing dungeon.
Yeah.
And
with non-destructible walls, and then you get the ability as you progress to build your own walls, but they're destructible.
Yeah, it's very fun, and it's got an interesting monetization model where you buy the game, and then they make it very difficult to find the upgrade you can buy, since apparently I was the only one who found the defense pack.
Yeah, you kept asking us if we had the defense pack with the Medusa and some other stuff in it, and nobody knew what you were talking about, and it took you a really long time to figure out how you bought it.
Yeah, I don't even know how I bought it, in such that you can see in the App Store that I had bought it. It's kind of a cute, stylistically, it's kind of fun. The attackers are cute.
Yeah,
they have big eyes.
I guess the defenses are kind of cute, too.
They make adorable noises as they disintegrate into skeletons.
Really? I never play with the sound on.
Yeah, I've had the sound off, honestly, too.
You guys are missing a lot of the
I was playing it late at night in
all
bed.
These professional sound designers are crying to hear you say that.
The defenses that you get, so basically as you progress, you get a bunch of different defenses, and they're pretty varied and interesting. And that there's traps which don't move and attack the heroes as they cross them. there's monsters that roam around and beat up the adventurers as they come to get you. And then there's your basic tower type stuff. There's ballista, there's a lightning tower, there's a catapult, which all have pretty different properties, which makes it interesting. And you only get to pick and eight of them on most levels.
Yeah, that's very Plants vs. Zombies.
Blending those a little bit, like...
But the traps, like, you can't, like, a fighter can't destroy your traps, but a thief can destroy them. Right. So you have to, like,
you can look at the next wave and decide, oh, I better not build a trap first until I have a way to keep that thief.
You get your resource to build traps. So you build stuff, and there's, like, a timer until you can build it again, which is very Plants vs. Zombies. And you get the resources from that by using, like, placing mana crystals in your dungeon, which are destructible by the enemy, and in which there's an entire enemy class that specifically seeks those out.
Ton of achievements that unlock new defenses, and
they usually are just
Kevin,
like,
has them already?
Not yet. They are upgraded versions of your other stuff, but they cost more, so there's a trade-off there.
Sometimes there's an advantage to having both, like multiple types of walls, so that you can stagger them.
Yeah,
that is very much a Plants vs. Zombies kind of thing about it. Like, you get to pick a limited number of things that you can build. They all have varying costs. Some of them are sunflowers that give you mana, and each of them has a cooldown, and so there are very powerful things that are cheap but have a really long cooldown, and there are there are attacks that you can use that have a short cooldown and are cheap, but, like, you know. So basically there are things that are cheap, and there are things that are cheap, and then have long and short cooldowns.
Yeah, unlike going back to the placement of the earlier levels, like, I have so many more powerful weapons and attacks now that, like, I can sort of super dominate them and
Definitely balanced for those lack of defenses. Yeah. Oh, there's also spells, which is different. There's like a boulder you can drop and will roll in a line.
One time use stuff.
There's a fire spell that will go in a line. There's a.
Are those in addition to the defenses that you select, or do those take up one of your slots?
Those are also defenses.
Like, it's a one time use thing that takes up one of your slots?
Yeah. Well, not one time use per dungeon, but it's not a persistent
tower.
No,
like, the bomb is like a spell, right? Yeah. Summon bomb.
Yeah.
Is it like the bomb? There's a bomb that explodes and stuns and kills dudes, but then
it gets disarmed by an epic thief.
Yeah.
Oh, an epic thief can disarm a bomb?
Yeah. Super annoying. Yeah.
Whereas a normal thief will try and disarm it, but normally get blown up before he does.
They can't. They don't have time. Even if you place it and they start working on it right away. Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's possible.
I don't know if they could join forces or not. So it's pretty compelling in that a bunch of us have been playing it.
Yeah, no, I've definitely been super into it.
It's $1.99?
Plus 99 cents for the Medusa defense.
Yeah. I heard of it because I said or saw something about that geodefense guy being involved, or if he was the creator.
Yeah. Good old
producer.
Fantasy University.
Yeah, so the company that made Fantasy University, which is, like, very similar to KOL except for better graphics and maybe not as good writing, and it's on Facebook, their company made this, but it might be mostly the CEO of that company on his own in his spare time made geodefense and Geodefense Swarm, which were some of my favorite.
And I may or may not have been involved at some level.
I would still just give him all my money if he kept making level packs for me for Geodefense Swarm and Geodefense. Yeah. Like, I'm so sad that I can't spend any more money on that game.
You should get his email address and email him.
I did once. They followed us on Twitter, and I was like, hey, we all love your games. Can you be my friend? And he never responded.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
But that was just a Twitter private message, so who knows?
Yeah, maybe he didn't actually see it because Twitter doesn't work that way.
Yeah, maybe not.
On the iPhone, I've also been playing Battleheart, which is... you guys played it?
I've seen it.
I describe it as real-time Final Fantasy Tactics.
I've had it on my iPad for a long time, but I haven't played it.
I enjoy it. I just saw earlier when I loaded up that I've played for 3 hours and 42 minutes.
Okay.
Because the save game tells you how long you've played. I played on the plane.
Did you play on an iPhone or an iPad?
I played on an iPhone.
Okay.
And I know it's got an issue where your dudes get on top of each other and you can't tell how much health each has and, like, target them.
That sucks.
The interface is basically you drag your wizard, you drag him onto an enemy and he attacks it. You drag him onto a not enemy and he moves there.
Oh,
your cleric, you drag it onto
what game we're talking
a
about
friend
now.
And it heals them.
Yeah.
It's interesting that there's 8 classes, but really you can only use 4, and they level up as you go. So I'm in this situation where I have a level 16 wizard and a level 12 cleric, and I want to try barbarian, but I can only hire a level 4 barbarian from the tavern.
You can't go back and
yeah,
do
can you go back to
mission?
The easy mission?
So I could. Can, I just could. Would yeah. suck, right? I mean, if it's a thing where, like, you can one-hit everything, like, you go back to, like, an early mission, you can one-hit everything with your super-powerful wizard, but the barbarian still gets all the experience.
You can, but you don't get a lot of XP from those, comparatively. I don't know. I did at like level 10, I added a archer to my team and leveled him up from level 5 to level 12 over a while. But it's interesting. I don't know that I'll stick with it for a long term. But
so something that I've noticed with Tiny Heroes is as you get more and more defense options, the levels get harder and harder. In part because you just don't know what to choose, right? Like, there's probably multiple strategies that could win a level, but
you need to look at the map. You need to probably lose a game and see what the waves look like.
Yeah, and it's like, it's one of those like option paralysis things where it's like so many different things, and you have such a limited selection of things that you can take with you, and they're all effective in their own ways.
I feel like in Plants vs. Zombies, I quickly got to the point where I was doing exactly the same thing on every map.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I've been
here.
Successful in Tiny Heroes using basically the same defenses or the same 6 out of 8. And then there's 2 that all vary based on the mission.
Yeah.
So
I really don't like the idea of having to lose a level to see what you needed to do.
Yeah, that seems... That's like the Zork thing of finding out that you shouldn't go through this door because when you do, it kills you and you have to...
I don't know if you need to lose, per se.
I just... I keep playing until I get the 3 stars per level.
That's because you were sick in the head.
Yeah. That's pretty much my style with these games. Like the other game that I've been playing lately is Spy Mouse, and that has another thing where there's like 3 different achievements per level.
Oh, right. Do everything. Like, so it's like that Harbor Master thing where you drag a path for the mouse.
Yeah.
And there's an achievement for doing it in only one stroke.
Depends. I mean, the achievements vary per level.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. So sometimes
I only played one level before I was like, yep, that's enough of that.
There's time based. There's like not being noticed based. There's number of strokes based. There's collecting all the cheese based. There's using a certain number of mouse holes. There's just a ton of different things that they might make you do on any given level. You only have to do 3 of them, but some of them are super hard to get them. But you only have to beat it to progress on. But like I'm the kind of person that's just going to keep trying to get stuff. Finding the secret levels is non-intuitive.
Are you playing right now?
Yes. No. You have to use the interface in a way that you don't, like, that it does not imply that you actually can use it. That's kind of
frustrating. So the secret is the interface, not necessarily playing the game?
Yeah. Basically, like, so there's, like, a level selection screen, and you normally just click on the level, and you, like, walk to it, and then it says, play this level. But to get to a secret level, you drag, you click on something, and then you keep dragging to create a path to an area that doesn't yet exist. And then it's like, oh, you can go to this place. But it only works in like 2 different places so far in World 1 and then once in World 1 and once in World 2. So, yeah.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah. So then once you get to the secret level, it's like, oh, if you want to play this, like us on Facebook, and then we will unlock the level for you. Yes.
You know, it could be worse. Dave was telling us about the Android games that require you to give them a 5-star review to unlock features.
Yeah.
Oh, not cool.
Yeah.
I think Apple at least will not allow you to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of sickened by some of their like gating mechanisms that require all of this like social activity.
Tiny Heroes does have an achievement and or a weapon, right? That you get from
I paid for this game. I mean, I did buy this game. It wasn't free.
Yeah, but it should have been 5 times as expensive as it was, and then they wouldn't have to do this shit. That continues to be. You know what I found? There's an achievement for telling one of your friends about Tiny Heroes. You get it even if you don't tell one of your friends about Tiny Heroes.
But it narratively says that.
Like you tell an enemy?
It says like, you know, launch Facebook or whatever. And if you say no, then it's like, okay, well, stand on a chair and tell everybody around you. And then if you do that, then it says hit done when you've done that.
I think I did that in the version when it was broken.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe people complained and they changed the way that worked.
Somebody fell off a chair and sued them.
No, I think I posted to Facebook and then deleted it.
Oh.
But I don't think I got the achievement.
You're cheating. That's not in the spirit of what they wanted you to do.
I should have stood on a chair.
Achievement.
Yeah.
That it?
Yeah, I mostly just spent iPhone games. I was traveling. I was a traveling man.
Yeah.
I didn't even have the internet for several days.
I've been playing the original Lego Star Wars complete set and the new one, Lego Star Wars 3.
Wow.
And noting, mainly my son has been playing, and then he says, hey, can you kill this dude for me?
How old is your son?
6.
Okay.
And I'm struck with two things. First, how much easier the original ones are. The new one, I think they got up their own intellect. And made it very...
I think you can say ass on this podcast.
It's much more complicated. But the best part is the original, just how much fun the cutscenes are.
Yeah, yeah.
And how...
They were really funny.
How true to the movies original. They are. So
the original being the prequel?
Oh, the original being the complete, first 6 episodes. The new game, they're named dumb, right? Lego Star Wars 3 is the Clone Wars, but it's not the Clone Wars movie. It's the Clone Wars cartoons.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Lego Star Wars 1 and 2 were the prequels and the...
The final win cutscene movie in the Clone Wars 1 was actually really funny. But yeah. The rest of them were... Eh. But it was the original series one that I thought were...
Well, I think
hilarious.
Some of that comes from just saying, like, that's a scene from the movie, but done by... Yeah.
Done by Legos.
Look how the minifig is more emotive than Natalie Portman. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you get the sense from those that they're made by people who care about Star Wars more than George Lucas
it's,
does.
It's just so true to the
but
movie.
But it's also, they just have a good sense of comic timing and
hilarious.
Good-looking animation, yeah.
And they're just good.
Yeah.
But we watched the second movie, whatever it's called, for the first time with my kids, and Yoda's walking around with his walking stick really slow, and then he takes out his sword and he moves really quick, and my son goes, Dad, they did it just like the game. He moves really quick with his sword out, and he only walks slow when he's using his cane. I was like, oh, I was kind of proud. If this was a family hot dog, I'd have to drink now.
Oh, you have to drink when you tell it.
If you tell a second,
a charming story about your charming child. All right, well, let's get to the part where we just burp into the mics over and over again.
Yay.
Cool.
Hey, what's all this crap in the world? Somebody wrote in about the new Humble Indie bundle.
Yeah, which is just a single fucking game.
Yeah.
That is some bullshit.
I don't think they know what the word bundle
means.
Yeah. Well, the other ones have done things where, like, after a certain number of people buy them, then they unlock more games. Maybe they only started with one this time.
It's a single game where if you pay more, you get the previous bundle.
Oh.
Is it just Frozen Synapse?
It is just Frozen Synapse.
Bundle?
No, it's another Frozen game. It's Frozen Bundle. I don't remember.
Frozen Bundle.
Frozen Grundle.
Frozen Collapse. Frozen something.
Frozen Synapse struck me as a pretty good game. I didn't play it more than one session, but I could have.
Is that the one that you got 4 copies of when you bought it or whatever, or 2 copies or something?
I think I got 2 copies when I bought it, yeah.
I think I bought the last Humble Bundle and haven't played any of the games.
Hmm.
It had Trine in it at the time that we did Trine, but I ended up just buying the original Trine.
I bought it and I got Trine and then I played it when you guys did it.
Yeah.
That's the game I played.
Cyber34 actually wrote into the Twitter asking us how we felt about the new Humble Indie Bundle. Yeah, it's weird. It's just not a bundle.
Have you played Frozen Synapse?
I haven't.
Yeah.
I was vaguely interested in it, but
it's a turn-based combat simulator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's very abstract
very
looking.
Real-time
yeah,
strategy.
Yeah, it's Tronny. It's not exactly real-time strategy. You've got your guys, and they've got different games, and you've got a top-down... different games. They've got different guns, and you've got a top-down view of your environment, and you drag around to set waypoints of where each guy is going to go, what direction he's going to be looking, whether or not he's just running, or if he will fire when he sees an enemy, when he gets up and crouches, and it puts icons along the path
Wow.
so that you know where the changes are. And then after you've marked what everybody is going to do, you hit test, and it animates your guys running around and shows you what the results would be if all the enemies stayed at their last known positions. And if you're satisfied with that result, you click go, and it does it again, but this time the enemies are moving around of their own accord with their own
awesome.
AI. Yeah.
Sounds really boring.
Well, you watch this movie of what the outcome of that round is for and around wow. being a specific amount of time, and then it pauses again and says, "All right, now here's where all your guys are standing.
Now
give them new orders
because all of your dudes are dead."
Yeah. Like,
can you save between each turn?
I don't think so.
Because that would drive me nuts. Because I think
no,
I would just
that because you keep replaying. Now, no, yeah. you have to go through the whole thing.
What's this Felicia Day stuff?
She's got some. She like wrote and starred in some DLC for Dragon Age 2, and like people are all super excited about it. And I don't know.
This marks the first time that anybody has been excited about Dragon Age 2.
Yeah. But it's like, actually, I think she's playing herself in the DLC or something, as opposed to like a character.
Like
it's,
Felicia Day goes through that portal from Ultima 4.
Yeah, dude, I don't know.
And it's like, oh, you need to get splattered with blood to prove
it. People seem to be super excited about a cute girl who's into video games. Like, it's just.
If she were playing her character that her character on. The guild has, that would be funny.
It might be. Yeah, I don't know. I don't play Dragon Age at all, so I have no idea.
Our buddy David got to make a sweet announcement about the release date of Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh, yeah?
Which is crazy. Like, I think that the stars might be lined up right for this to become a real thing. Because I don't think there is a prayer of Blizzard getting an expansion out for World of Warcraft before December 20th.
They haven't even announced one, so it seems unlikely.
Everyone expects them to announce one at BlizzCon. Maybe they will have Dave Grohl announce BlizzCon.
Has there been anything said about a Mac client?
I forgot what we were talking
Star
about.
Wars.
I don't know.
It is not. It's not going to be at launch for
really
at least. Oh yeah, definitely not.
Huh? That's
I wouldn't have thought so, but I was holding out hope.
Yeah, I don't. That's not their style, right? Yeah. Like BioWare doesn't release on Mac.
Yeah,
at all.
So, I mean, Mass Effect. Anything?
I wonder what percentage of Blizzard. I mean, I wonder what percentage of WoW players are on a Mac. I mean, I know a tremendous number of people who have only ever played it on a Mac, and so I mean, it's probably overrepresented because I hang out with dumb
douchebags.
Well, plus, I mean the Mac. Laptops are extremely popular in the laptop world, and World of Warcraft is processor unintensive enough that you can play it quite well on a laptop.
I mean, my understanding is that they're trying to maintain similarly low system specs for the Old Republic. I mean, it seems like they're trying to do all of the things right that WoW did. They're not like making which is why I expected there to be a Mac client. I expected that would just be part of their strategy because they're like. Ignoring these big swaths of what WoW did in an effort to replicate its success seems like a bad move.
Yeah. Is the PS Vita was going to launch on the 3rd of December, and now it's launching on the 17th, 2 weeks later. And I wonder how much of that is like the launch title is not going to be ready on time. Because I was talking to my friend Chris, who's the lead designer for one of the what was theoretically going to be one of the launch titles, but it might not be. It might come out a couple of months later
With their proprietary storage cards instead of plain old SD cards like everybody else in the world uses.
Sony like is coming in, kind of like 11th hour and being
like,
iPhone.
Let's use a plain old SD card.
We don't like some of the design decisions you've made, so you should maybe change them if you want to keep finishing this game. And they're like, okay.
Platform.
Yeah. So it's he says that. Had like he felt like it was hard to finish.
Is that going
to
be a relevant device? Seems like the 3DS is struggling to be relevant.
I think that, you know, if the 3DS is struggling to be relevant, it's because its gimmick is bullshit. You know, I mean, I guess people probably said the same thing about the DS, you know, the two screens or whatever. But, I don't think that this points to since the iPhone, you can't do a portable game system that is meaningful anymore. I mean, it's just the fact that
people have systems in their pocket that are capable of playing games all the time now.
Like pocket pool.
Yep.
Pocket poker.
Yeah. Is that the female version of
Pocket Heroes?
Pocket pool.
Let's see. Four Swords, a Zelda Four Swords game is for free on the 3DS eShop.
Is that forever
for
or just
of you
temporarily?
For a couple of months, I think, is the plan.
I think this is an interesting strategy theirs to release stuff.
Well, it's also because it's the 25th anniversary of Zelda.
Well, I mean, is it that, or
that's
is it
a good excuse?
Yeah,
that's
it,
a good
is excuse. It, let's like yeah. Yeah. Let's keep having some free stuff in a short term window, so that if you want to buy the, if you want to get this free, you need to buy the system now.
Yeah,
Which implies that they're just having a hard time selling systems.
And Metroid 2 for
the Game Boy.
The Game Boy version of Metroid 2 is coming out on the eShop soon in Japan, so it will probably be on the American and European ones before 2, much longer after that.
Mm. That's cool.
Is that one good? Is that game any good?
Yeah, I enjoy that a lot. It's very linear for a Metroid game, but it has just the right mood, and it's got a bunch of the best power-ups originated in Metroid 2.
If I could tie my 3DS to my PayPal account or something other than typing my credit card into the 3DS,
can't you
buy
just
stuff?
Do it once and then it saves it or something?
No, you have to buy credits.
Yeah.
Wow, that sucks.
So you have to commit to buying a bunch of credits.
I bought like a bunch of credits at once, and it slowly feeds off of them.
Yeah, I feel like that's part of the iPhone. It's just I gave it my info
so,
once.
Yeah,
and
it's
click
so
a button.
Easy to spend money just by typing in a password.
Insidiously easy.
I get like a gift certificate every year that I work off, you know, and then slowly burn through that. And
for iTunes?
Yeah.
How do you get an iTunes gift certificate every year?
Just like a Christmas present or birthday present or something?
He buys himself one and then puts it in there.
But I mean, it lasts me most of a year usually. I'm usually only spending...
I am guessing that I probably, like, given my statements that I get from iTunes in my email, I probably spend about $4 a month on average.
Yeah?
On my phone. Yeah. Mm. Some months is more, and then I'll go 6 months without buying anything new.
Every now and then I'll buy, like, an album and stuff.
Yeah, I probably spend $20 a month easy.
Hmm. Zynga, which, as I was looking up this story, because Chris was saying something about Zynga reporting all these profits, their profits reduced by 95%, so I looked it up. The iPhone's autocorrect turns Zynga into dungs, which is funny. So the profits are down 95% from the same quarter of last year, but their revenue is up 15%. They're just hiring people like crazy.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's less exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, there were just a bunch of metrics being displayed in this article, and it's like, their daily active users are down by like some single digit percent from last year, but like, I don't think it's news, really. I mean, I think it's
like, so why are you mentioning it?
Yeah, good thing we're saying it on the news section.
Well, no, because I mean, like, I think it's being reported as though it were news, but I think it was just a thing that was reasonably easy to sensationalize and get a headline that everybody's like, yeah, oh, sweet, Zynga's finally going out of business.
Do you think that they're going to succeed in this sort of expansion strategy that they've got, or do you think that they would have just been better off taking their dump trucks full of money and going home?
They're hiring people to make real games,
right?
In theory, right? They're hiring. I mean, they're starting to get some names. I mean, we've seen this in just talking to the people that we know in the industry. So many people are like, I'm going to Zynga.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't really care. Like, I don't think that they've ever produced anything that I'm interested in.
But that's just
they don't seem
we...
to have destroyed Words with Friends. Right?
Yeah, I haven't noticed anything different about it.
And the dogs on the
loading screen.
Yeah, I started playing Hanging with Friends, and I don't think I even got through a single
game. Is that Hangman?
Yeah, it's like some weird Hangman variant that I don't precisely understand, and I didn't buy it because I don't want to give Zynga any money, so it's this bullshit ad. Like, every time you do anything, it plays a little ad that's like, hey, click this, play some Zynga bullshit. I'm like, nope, still not giving you any money.
Cool.
You know, what are you going to do? What I'm going to do is talk about our assignment.
Yay.
Our assignment, which was Castlevania. Yeah,
Castlevania.
How'd you guys do? How'd you find it?
I thought it was...
hard.
I thought it was pretty easy, but that's mainly due to the fact that I mapped two of the buttons on my controller to freeze state and restore state. So I was just saving every few seconds, and then every time I got hit, I'd tap the button and go back a couple seconds.
Yeah, that's a different way of playing. I would play through until I got killed, and then I would reload and then keep playing.
Kevin actually mapped one of his controller buttons to garden state so that when he got sad at getting killed in Castlevania, he could watch a few minutes of garden state and it would make him feel good again.
Yeah. I don't know. I was playing it like it was a real game. I was trying to avoid the save state thing, but like the last two levels, I was just reloading fucking constantly.
Yeah, because I remember hearing you cursing up a storm and went and looked in your office and watched you played for a few minutes, and I'm like, okay, if I'm going to subject myself to this, I'm going to make it a little easier for myself.
That's a clever use of some extra buttons on your controller.
Did you play it with a gamepad or something?
Yeah.
I just played it with a keyboard. Chris, you said you did some crazy nonsense where you mapped a Wii controller.
Yeah,
to
I used
the PC.
A Wiimote with Bluetooth sideways, and then you can use Dar Wiimote and map that to keys.
Like a Daughters of the American Revolution Wiimote.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. They really care about preserving our nation's history.
Yeah, being able to play video games with a Wiimote.
I went to visit my grandmother, who lives in Albuquerque, on my way through town, and they had on their schedule Wii Golf every Friday. I was like, huh, I guess retirement centers have purchased Wiis, and now they are playing the lowest impact Wii games.
To keep the players from wheezing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah, I thought it was hard.
I found it fucking hard.
I abused the save states like crazy. I mean, I did play until I would die. I did not reload every time I got hurt.
I beat it in a half an hour.
That's insane.
Reloading every time I took damage.
I am amazed that you managed to do it that fast, because even using my scummy method, it still took me an hour and 5 minutes.
It took me closer to 3 hours beating it the way I was playing.
I had Castlevania as a kid, and I just played the shit out of the first four levels. I only once on a real Nintendo made it to the fifth level.
I can see that. The idea of playing this on a real Nintendo with no save states, and like finally getting to the boss of the fifth or sixth level or whatever, and then like trying to learn how it works and moves and stuff like that, and just dying and then having
then
to go back
through
to
the whole game to get there again.
Yeah.
I mean, the nice thing about it, though, is that you eventually just get this
Muscle memory to
four,
for being the
four
whole
of
game.
The bosses I just beat on the first try without taking any damage, right? So four of the six bosses I was able to beat without having to do any save state stuff at all.
Sure.
I mean, I would say, it probably took me 10 of those 30 minutes to just beat the Dracula demon second form.
Right.
Is one of them the Grim Reaper?
Yeah. There's just a trick to the Grim Reaper. If you keep holy water through the hole, you can use axes on the bat, because that's the sort of the easiest way to kill the bat at the end of the first level. But if you just keep triple holy water for the whole rest of the game, and every boss is just basically stun locked. And if you don't die, you don't lose your hearts. And so you just sort of have all of the ammo collected for the entire game.
Did you reload if you got a different weapon by accident?
I would have, but it never happened.
Huh. Because I feel like I was always sort of hitting a torch and collecting it before it hit the ground.
Yeah, I did that a couple times.
And if I got something, I was like, fuck, and I'd have to reload if I didn't want the weapon or whatever.
I think in general I would jump at torches and hit them with enough time for me to see what fell out of them.
Well, but sometimes they're over gaps that you're going to lose it if you do that and you don't know what they are.
I did not spend a lot of time going after stuff like that. Like, I wasn't really going for, super collect-y...
I was trying to find all the secrets. Like, I guess that's why it took me so much longer.
I didn't know most of the secrets. I just knew where they were.
Yeah, but you knew where they were. I had to, go in places and stand somewhere and be like, okay, that looks like
I can understand why it took you so long if you stood still for 10 seconds on every square.
And why the Medusas were that much more of a problem.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
the Medusas were
bad. The Medusas are.
You know what? They were terrible until I realized they always follow a pattern. Mm-hmm. So you could move, stand somewhere, wait for one to go by, and then move forward 10 squares.
If you just walk, they do not hit you.
Yeah.
If you move forward at the rate at which your character moves forward, none of the Medusas will hit you.
I was all prepared to really be angry and was starting to hate them, and then one of them hit me right while I was in the middle of a jump, and it knocked me up the screen onto a ledge that was right at the end of the level and caused me to skip half of that screen.
Yeah, that's how
so
that's how
oh, okay.
speedruns rely
guys.
On that. getting not in level two, getting knocked upwards a level in one of the rooms where you have to go to the right and then go up and then go to the left.
Huh.
That's
pretty clever.
I was like, all right, can't be angry at you.
The Fleeman drove me fucking crazy. The idea that there are
the ones being dropped by the eagles.
That was the part that required the most just luck.
Yeah.
Was getting through the fucking clock tower levels where it's just every which way eagles and Fleemans.
But the fact that they can sort of go through walls and you can't makes them just so much more obnoxious. Mm.
It's not really fair.
Skeletons can throw bones through walls.
The worst part, most of my deaths were from being knocked back off of a platform.
Yeah, that was super annoying.
like too. that line of the giant bats at, near the end of the game, where you're walking across those battlements.
Yeah, I finally I read that a spoiler was super that obnoxious. Said just run past them.
Yeah,
you like jump up, whip at them, so they're
you freeze them for a second,
and then you run. Yeah, and then it's like I did that the next try.
I ended up like I think I spent 15 minutes trying to kill them all, and then I was like,
yep, that's what
fuck
I did.
This and just ran past them all. Man, I don't know. It was very frustrating. Like, I think Castlevania is cool.
Wait, did you beat it, Riff?
Yeah,
I think all of us.
So it's interesting. There, most of the time, it's like one or two of you on an assignment will be like, "Yeah, I played for 10 minutes," but everyone well, played I mean, and beat it.
It took all of an hour for me to do it. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's also a really good game.
Love the music too.
Like, yeah, the music is great.
It's got good. It's got good theme. It's got good. Like
the graphics are good. Like it is
for its
era. It is exciting.
I like the map that it shows you. That map in between.
Yeah.
It's exciting to whip a candle, even though even though the stuff that comes out is predictable, right? Yeah. It's like a little treat every time.
There's a lot of little pellets to pick up as you go.
Yeah. Jarring that hearts are fucking current, not currency. Yeah, like life. Ammo. Yeah. Like super weird.
I mean, it's old. The tropes hadn't been established.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not jarring that meat heals you, because, like, that's a fairly standard thing. The
meat heals
you? Yeah, like a chicken leg.
Oh, the cakes?
You get a chicken leg and it heals you. The cakes.
And the bulk... It was weird that the bulk of the healing is hidden.
Yeah. It's like all of it. I don't remember any of it.
Yeah, I don't think that there is any.
One candle that I thought I can't... No, maybe not.
I don't think so. I think
it was
all,
weird, right?
It was
so
all
that I thought was different than most games.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to play the game not getting hit. I think that is the way to play the game.
Well, and you can, right? I mean, like that's the thing. Like it is a game that very much rewards that muscle memory, right? So like playing the earlier levels isn't a big deal because you're just all right. I just am gonna go through these motions and do this, and it takes like 3 minutes, you know, from start to killing the bat is like probably 3 minutes, right? If you're just going balls out.
Yeah, I guess I could probably play the beginning levels of Super Mario Brothers without blindfold on almost. Having played them enough, you know,
I don't know
like
about that.
Yeah. I said almost.
Especially if the blindfold was soaked in some kind of poison, or poked in some kind of soisin, you wouldn't be able to finish.
Soy sauce.
You wouldn't be able to finish before you drowned in soy sauce and hoisin.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. This game made me think of NES games, and I never played much of this, but I played a lot of Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
So I loaded up in an emulator, and it's the exact same game.
What do you mean it's the exact same game?
You have an enemy. You have enemy and your health. Up above, the exact same look, you have a box where you get your special weapon that you use by pressing up and attack. You whip paper lanterns, and stuff drops out of them.
But isn't it on a much more sort of up and down vertical scale?
I mean, you can do the wall jump.
Yeah, there's the wall jump, and I mean, there's a little bit of sophistication added to the formula there. But like, I mean, they added the wall jump in Castlevania 3 with Grant Danasty.
is Ninja Gaiden another Capcom one?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Makes sense why they were able to use that energy font, the pink rectangles. I mean, and it's kind of the same deal, right? It's like hordes of enemies moving in varying patterns, some predictable, some unpredictable, like, you know, fucking flea mans and the goddamn birds.
It just struck me playing them one after the other. I was like, wow, this is the same game.
Just like Blades of Steel and Double Dribble. Same game.
So what are you thinking
double
for next
Double Dribble and
next
Double
week?
Dragon.
Dragon Mountain and Mountain Dew.
Dragon Something Mountain.
Next week, I think our assignment should be Castlevania 2, so we can watch that series evolves into some unplayable bullshit.
It's a terrible night to have a curse.
Some baffling tricks.
What is with the fucking day-night cycle in that game? I mean, for serious.
There are things that happen at night and things that happen at day.
Nothing drops during the day. Enemies are so easy to kill. And then
you've got
to
do a lot of moving around on the overworld map, and so some of the map there's no overworld map. You're just on. You got to run around in those outdoor sections.
Yeah.
I am going to play. I am going to try to play Castlevania 2 to completion, and I'm going to play it with a fucking spoiler open because I've had zero luck trying to play it without spoilers.
I mean, that one has passwords, right? So at least it's not. You don't have to play through in one sitting.
Yeah. I mean, with save states, you don't have to play through.
Right, but I mean, if you were playing it. Purely, you could still play through, get a password that you have the chain whip now or whatever.
But
it is.
From what I've heard, so many of the riddles and the stuff that that you have to figure out of where you go next are so obscure that it would just take you forever to...
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're clued in the Japanese versions of the text.
There are 13 clues to Dracula's secret or whatever.
You now possess Dracula's rib. Dracula had one of his ribs removed so he could more easily suck his own dick. No, he was just sucking the blood out of it. Don't...
It's hard, it's limp. It's hard, it's limp. It's hard, it's limp.
I actually beat Castlevania 2 as a kid.
Oh, okay.
And I never beat Castlevania 1. But I've never made any headway trying to play Castlevania 2 in an emulator, so
it is,
with the burden of this podcast bearing down on me, I hope to actually play through
it. It is also available as a Java applet on Nintendo8.com. Okay.
So it's licensed.
I am keeping my current button mappings.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's not an unwise choice.
Castlevania 2. Have some listener mail. Okay. Soren Trigg writes, Riff, the show Retro Game Challenge was based on has been translated and posted by Something Awful. And then he posts a link to it in our Video Games Hot Dog Twitter.
Sweet.
What do you know about Retro Game Challenge?
Not a lot, except it is the TV show that the DS game... Retro game. Yeah, it was based on.
I was thinking of that thing that Kotaku keeps doing, that Retro Game Master.
It might be related. I'm not familiar with
that. They just make
that.
Some Japanese dude play some game that you've never heard of.
That is Retro Game Challenge. It's this dude, Areno, I think is his name. Every episode, he plays an old game to completion, I guess.
The Dragon Sword suggests that we make next week's assignment something from the new Humble Indie Bundle.
which game could it be?
Which option? Good old BioWare David agrees with you about builds in Diablo 3, which just demonstrates that there's more than one totally wrong-ass person on the planet.
In fact, everyone who's commented on it has agreed with me, but whatever, who's counting? I mean, really?
I mean, that's just because agreeing with me is such a default position that it's not interesting enough to write about, because I'm right about things. Also, BioWare David, younger than Castlevania, so, you know, really doesn't know shit.
Yeah, a lot of people commenting on the age of Castlevania relative to their own age or their kids' age and stuff like that. That's
All right, I got some emails probably in this mix somewhere. I'm just gonna start clicking on them at random. Lee Davis writes, "You guys have discussed Eve on the cast, but have any of you played it for any length of time? I'm curious about your collective experiences/impressions. In a similar vein, what about other niche MMOs like A Tale in the Desert or Pirates of the Burning Seas?" And then suggest the Urquan Masters, which we are all well aware of.
I nearly picked up Tale in the Desert, but because I saw that it had a Mac client, but I didn't get around to it.
I played it,
and
for
I just have no interest in Eve whatsoever.
A little while, and it was boring as all hell because there was nobody else around. Like, I think I must have gotten into A Tale in the Desert right at the end of one of their tellings.
Yeah,
and that so was, there was just no what, one around. There was all this crap.
That was what happened
around.
With me. Is I heard people talking about it when they were just about to start a new one. I was like, oh, maybe I should get in on that. But
it
I
seems
didn't.
Like the tutorial requires there to be other people around too, because it's now that you've done this, the next step is to make some clothing, so find somebody who's made some wool or whatever. And I'm like, and I just wandered around and found a bunch of abandoned buildings. I have no idea. My experience of Eve was complete horseshit. I downloaded like
aren't
free
you still
trial.
Flying from one place to another?
I think I am. Yeah, I'm still trying to level up my skills at piloting enough to get out of the tutorial.
I want to leave the part of my brain that in my mind thinks Eve is probably just Trade Wars, but newer and awesome in my head, because that's always what when I read about it or I see it, I imagine it's Trade Wars, but with a lot more people.
Yeah, it's Trade Wars, except the Something Awful goons are capable of just blowing your shit up.
Because I love Trade Wars.
So I played the tutorial, and it was a lot of like, check out all these different ways of viewing this spreadsheet, and then now go do some boring asteroid mining that just involves you watching. Pew, pew, pew. You're mining an asteroid. Now go kill these pirates and just get my shit blown up.
The fact that
instantly
you are a ship.
And then I talked
it's
in
a little
the
weird too,
I asked
right?
in the help channel. I'm like, hey, how do I kill these pirates? And they're like, are you still in the starter ship? And I'm like, well, yeah. And they were like, you totally have enough money to buy a significant ship upgrade by this point in the tutorial, so you should do that. So I went, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. What do you know? So I bought a ship upgrade, And when I tried to disembark from the space station, it was like, you can't fly this ship without leveling up your piloting skill. And the way that you level up your pirating skill is by clicking on it to train and then like come back 4 hours later. And I was just like, yeah, no, I'm going to come back a lot more than 4 hours later.
You're probably a really good pilot by now.
I probably am, yeah. Although I think I probably would have had to click on the next stage to do it. I don't know if you can queue up trainings or not. But yeah, it is like a game where other people get to decide how much fun I'm having is a game where I'm not going to have any fun.
I mean, theoretically, the game designer gets to decide how much fun you're having, right?
I mean, in a good game, yes. But in Eve, I think the other people are the ones who decide how much fun I have.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like there's always some other person involved whenever you play a game.
Yeah, but you can trust a game designer to have your best interests at heart.
No.
Can you really?
No, you can't. All right, I'm gonna have you drive this bus to Vegas, and you can tell me how much you enjoy that game. All right,
that's a game that didn't get published.
You can play it.
I'm gonna have a game where you have to figure out esoteric number system used by dwarves, and then translate that.
Yeah, and play a dice game. And by the way, these dice have seven sides, and we never tell you that anywhere.
Now, see. If I had been a player encountering that, I thought I would have thought it was completely awesome.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, I had the best interests of players like me at heart.
Pirates of the Burning Sea is one that I played a bunch of builds of it at various cons. Like when I first started being really active, like going to PAX and
film actually festivals looking into and this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally do say that there's seven sides.
Does it? All right.
Seven wives for seven sons?
I played a bunch of Pirates of the Burning Sea in like demo modes that they had at various exhibit halls, and it was just like, I'm not interested in this. If there was a game that was just that, like going into caves and digging up treasure and shit, then sure. But I really don't like. I've never played a naval combat game that I enjoyed since Ancient Art of War at Sea.
Have you tried that? That new iPad game that I was talking about the other week, the one Bungie Aerospace put out?
No.
You might try it.
Okay. What's it called?
I'll have to look at my
Dragon
iPad and
something
tell you.
Pirate. Mountain.
I played a bunch of Ancient Art of War games, and they were a lot of fun, as I recall.
Yeah, I don't really remember anything about Ancient Art of War Sea, but really. I liked it enough to play it a bunch. I mean, this was when I was a kid and didn't have a lot of games to play, so yeah. I might have just played it because I had it.
I'm wondering if it is something that we could play now if we wanted to.
I don't know. It's published by Bruderbund.
I played the shit out of the original Ancient Art of War.
Did you ever play Karateka or whatever?
Karateka? No, I never.
Karateka?
Friend of mine had it on like an Atari 5200. Like my one friend who had an Atari 5200.
I played it on an Apple.
Yeah, I don't think I ever played it. Like that seemed to be a very early like it, that Street was Fighter. Yeah that was yeah. to Street Fighter what Prince of Persia was to later Prince of Persia games.
To Braid.
Yeah. Spencer Worley writes of Kevin's Keyboard. Hey guys, I'm impressed with Nintendo for making an apparently indestructible SNES controller, considering the terrible things I did to mine when Street Fighter 2 came out. What games do you think rank the highest for inducing frustration rage? So many swears. I don't remember what games have pissed me off the most.
Huh.
I was never super ragey about stuff like that. You know, Deus Ex Human Revolution pissed me off quite a bit last night because there was this, I fucking walked into this room and had this thing that I was trying to hack, and everyone in the room kept dying, and it took me so long to figure out what the fuck was going on, like, because at some point my hacking game would just get interrupted and everyone in the room would die, including me, because I was trying to hack this, what turns out was a timer on a big poison gas bomb, and I just didn't see the timer counting down. Like, it was like in hilarious. Some part of my field of vision that I was like, why the fuck do I keep losing this game? And then I realized, oh, okay, this is different than the other hacking games in that there is a giant red timer
counting down
on this bomb. And well, I go, what's making this bomb go off, guys?
You thought it was a green timer.
Yeah, well.
So.
I mean, normally my frustration is the game that crashes, you know. You've like a lot of iPhone tower defense games. Yeah. I've had that happen where you get
Fallout 3,
and you're almost done with the level you've been trying to beat, and it just crashes, and you start over.
My trouble is usually platformers, like Mario games, well, I will not get very far before I just put it down and walk away.
Super Mario 3, I got super frustrated, and then I would always get to the, like, 8-3 or whatever it was. Maybe it was the jumping spaceships or play, whatever that was after the boats. And I just never got past that ever.
Huh.
Until recently on an emulator.
I remember my cousin raging out on an NES Advantage, and in doing so, discovering the continue for Solomon's Key. Because if you lose in Solomon's Key and then hold up and hit B on the title screen, it starts you over at the beginning of the last level that you died in.
Wow.
And holding up and hitting B is also a thing that you can do if you just punch the controller with both of your hands after being pissed off about losing. So that was pretty awesome.
Wow.
Let's see. Paul Davidson writes, "Hey, group formerly known as the Norm... I'm not even going to read that. I was just listening to the latest Video Games Hot Dog when my friend tapped me on the shoulder and asked me what I was listening to that had a hot dog dildo as album art. I had to explain to her that it was a hot dog joystick, and she replied the same thing. Thanks for making me look like a guy with some pervy hot dog fetish. Paul Bedeux."
So his name reminds me of the fact that Paul Robertson, the guy who did the animation
In Death We Are All, Paul Robertson.
That game based on that movie that was based on those comic books.
The Watchmen?
No, the...
Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim. The guy that did the animations for the Scott Pilgrim video game has done the animations for this new game called Wizorb, which has just come out on Xbox Live. It's like Fantasy Arkanoid.
Huh.
There was a game that... I think that I eventually tracked this down on an emulator, but there was a game, and I visited my old hometown last night, and I walked past the laundromat that was a place where I played some weird video games. I don't know where this laundromat owner got his video games, but I think he was just getting the weird bullshit that nobody else wanted to buy. There's some weird Macross game. It was like sort of like a side-scrolling shooter, but you were on this weird motorcycle, and it was really hard, and so I never wanted to waste my quarters on it. But there was another game that was like Arkanoid, except that there was like a little caveman walking around on top of the bricks who was like your buddy who would occasionally help you with stuff, and you had to like not let him die, maybe. Huh. Or maybe he was a bad guy. I don't know. But then when you lost, it played A Whiter Shade of Pale. Like, that doesn't, you know, did they license that? I don't think they licensed that.
I'm just now remembering that I saw two other games played while I was in Colorado. Elo Milo or Ilo Milo or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's Xbox on sale, Live Arcade. I think, at the moment for real cheap.
Fido Dido.
It was pretty cool. It's like a platformy kind of like 3D platformer puzzle game, which looked pretty cool. And then Just Cause 2. Have you seen that?
I haven't. It's like a big open world blow shit up game.
Right? Yeah, I think theoretically like a freedom fighter or like some sort of like counter-terrorist or whatever, but you are just
the one that,
killing everyone.
Is that the one that Idle Thumbs was always talking about, or is that a
different Far Cry 2 that they were always talking about.
Okay.
Just Cause 2, I think
that was reviewed by Yahtzee, and it was like...
You can like grappling hook a helicopter and swing it
into
buildings.
You get a parachute and a grappling hook, and above the ground, you can just grappling hook the ground and pull yourself forward and then launch your parachute out and fly up, and then grappling hook and parachute.
So it's like a reverse Spider-Man.
It seems like
I gave your mom a reverse Spider-Man the other day.
A lot of fun to get around the world, and like you are just constantly blowing stuff up, and you are.
Was she high at the time?
You can get jets that fly around and stuff like that, and then climb out and stand on top of them and shoot stuff while the jet is flying around.
Neat.
Yeah, it is just ridiculous mayhem and shooting stuff.
Does it take place in the real world though?
I mean, it's in
the real world.
It's some sort of like
jets.
Island system in, you know, Latin or South America or something. I don't know. You know,
One of the Americas,
like
it, though.
Something like that. Yeah.
I like my terrorist games to have an America
as a
target.
Southeast
I don't
Asia.
Care which America?
Could be
it
Southeast
is.
Asia. Maybe doesn't have to be.
Really, could be anywhere where there are brown people.
Well, islands.
Anywhere where there are brown islands.
Yeah, brown islands.
Hey, if somebody wanted to send us a reader mail, a listener mail, why do I keep calling it reader mail?
I don't know.
Some other podcasts call it reader mail, and I've just
Idle
picked
Thumbs
that up. Did they?
Yep.
I think
that
so,
sucks.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't have that habit then. That's just what I think of it as.
Yeah, I mean, it's an inspiration. So if they want to contact us, the most reliable way to get a question read is probably through Twitter. Send us a tweet send us a tweet. Our tweet handle is @VGHotDog. That's much harder
to say. Soon you'll be able to find us at hot.hotdognet.net.
Are you actually going to do that?
I think so. No, hot.hotdognet.net.
Because we have, what, hotdognet?
Do we have hotdognet.com?
We have hotdognet.com and maybe also hotdognet.net.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, who knows? A way to get a question right eventually is to send an email to us.
I read some of those emails just now.
I know. vghotdog@gmail.com. And then a very good way to get a question read on the show is to go to the forums. And the easiest way to do that is to go to follow the link from videogameshotdog.com.
You say that that's a very good way to get a question read on the show, but I don't think we've read one of those in like 10 or 15 shows.
Really?
You know what we could do? Is someday we could just do a nothing but listener mail.
Yeah, but
show.
I kind of like having a huge backlog of questions that we can refer to, and then people can be like,
your mom
asking
likes
us about
a huge backlog
of shows. Oh man, someday she's going to listen to these. Someday she's going to realize that I do podcasts.
I think she'll think it's funny.
She probably will. Actually, she entertained my high school friends for hours and hours and hours.
All right. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great week, everyone.